Hi again, everybody. Welcome to The Suspendables. On today's show, this story will not go away. So we talk about it, get Russ's opinion on all a bunch of these players who are coming out and talking about their little bad experience they had with their coach. You can probably tell what I think about it. Russ has lots to say about that. And I asked him, he knows some stories about coaches. Is he going to come forward? Also, sports records come up all the time. Questions from the crowd. People want to know what Russ's opinion is of the greatest record ever, and will it be broken? Of course, this all comes about because Ovi said he's going to play until he breaks the record, breaks Gretzky's record. There's more on that, but my favorite at the end of the show, bar fights. Russ was in an incredible one with his brother Bruce, and then he tells us about the best one he's ever seen. That and much, much more coming up on today's show. Merry Christmas. Can I start doing that now, Russ? Hey, do we have a little Santa? You know, I'd be a good Santa. Welcome, everyone, to The Suspendables. It's me, Jungle Jim, and, of course, Russ Cortinel. What did you think of that,
Russ? You'd
be a great
Santa.
Wouldn't I be a good Santa? Good. I'll tell
you. You got the gut.
I do have the gut.
Let's hear your ho, ho, ho again.
Yeah. Ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
See, not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Pretty good.
What's what are you doing? What's going on? What part of the world are you in?
I'm in LA at Sherwood, headed to a charity event in the desert tomorrow for Jerry Weintraub, good friend who passed away a couple years ago, and his son is raising money for cancer. And
who's Jerry Weintraub now? You
Jerry Weintraub was a massive producer, and he also managed did all the promotions for Elvis Presley. So he produced all the Ocean movies, Karate Kid. If you look him up, Jerry Weintraub, huge guy, awesome. Met him years ago at Sherwood Country Club. We used to play golf together, and I got to play with Matt Damon, Andy Garcia, and a few others, and here are Jerry's stories. But he was the man in Hollywood, and he's a great friend of Discovery, Mike Meldman, and all of us here at Sherwood. So I'm going there tomorrow to play a little golf.
There's some hitters around there.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Beautiful. The White Claw moment.
Yeah.
Do you see, I saw that sales of White Claw are up 275% since you started fucking talking about it. I think that's a real number. It's going
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of my favorite stories ever, when you bring up oceans, I play golf with an Asian buddy of mine, great guy. And but he kind of mixes up sort of household expressions, Russ, and the stuff he says is like completely quotable. But and he's a dentist, a very successful and a great dentist. But some of the shit that comes out of his mouth, you go, are you serious? Did you, you know, he would, well, I've told this before on radio in the old days.
The old days.
We all like the action of the golf course, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an expression in sports when you tie. The expression is it's like kissing your sister, okay? When you tie and
when you push,
it's
like kissing your sister,
kissing your sister. And he would always, you know, try these expressions, but he didn't understand what they meant. But he would crescendo on the mistake. You know, he'd say, so anyway, we pushed that hole, Finn, right? He'd go, yeah, it's like kissing your sister's ass, hey Jim. No, it's not. Oh, he had a million. Oh, yeah. He said that the guys in the PGA Tour are so good because they have the jockeys read the putts for them. You mean caddies, Finley? And anyway, it's just like, great guy.
Yeah.
Totally lovable guy. But one of my all-time favorites from him, he became so quotable, was people were talking about Ocean's 11, you know, when Ocean's 10 or 12 or 13 or something. And he said, I saw Ocean's 11, but I never saw Ocean's 1. I never saw Ocean's 2.
He skipped right through.
skip, skip right through them all, you know, and you'd sort of start into trying to explain and then go, nah, fuck it. No, he just doesn't understand. anyway.
Sorry about my annoying, where I do the show, I don't know where you do the show in your
my kitchen,
studio
man.
Apartment, yeah. But I'm at my bar, we transformed the dining room into a bar when we renovated.
A little bar studio.
Our house, yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I tried outside, we had the background noise of the birds and the lawnmowers, and then I went to the bedroom, but it was, you know, a little quiet in there, too quiet. Yep. So I moved to my bar.
Of course you did.
And I probably posted a picture on Instagram, but I'll do it again. But I know I get in shit for the noise in the background, which is my wine fridge and my ice maker. So I apologize for that noise, but background noise. But you know what? The next spot is the garage, and I'm not fucking going out there.
I spent a lot of nights in the garage.
Okay? Oh, God.
In my blurry days, you know, when I was imbibing, and I used to have to hide my booze, you know, Russ, around the house, and I found a great spot. So behind the drywall, Russ. Okay, so you got
behind the drywall. Give me a freaking break. That's where you hide cash.
Yeah, normally you'd hide cash, but so the wall was, you know, about 8 feet, but it didn't go quite to the ceiling. You see, it was kind of open, right? It's a garage, right? They didn't bother finishing off. So yeah. you could drop stuff in behind the drywall, you know, like just reach up and throw the shit down there. And so we moved into this house. We had the garage finished. So this is a fresh pit here, Russ. There's nothing in there, no insulation. And I started dropping my beer cans down there. You know, I was in the garage drinking Mickey's and beer cans.
Oh, my God.
And not realizing, Russ, how much I drank in about 4 months, I went to throw one down there, and there was no room anymore. It bounced back at me. I threw it in. It came back out.
Can't believe you're single.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that I'm single. Yeah. I'm going to read you something, Russ, it's a joke, okay, but it's going to sort of talk about all the shit that's going on that I want to talk about. It's a cartoon, Russ. It's called The New NHL, and it's a scene of a guy calling a hockey game.
I sent this to you. Oh, okay. My God. You are okay.
Well, it doesn't matter. Russ, it doesn't matter who gets credit. Just give me the credit for it.
Oh, my God. And you're supposed to be the fucking comedian on this show. And I'm giving you material.
Listen.
Oh, you are useless.
Russ, you're an athlete. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. Okay?
Oh, my God. I'm not okay.
Gonna. So, anyway, the cartoon's hilarious. And it says, the color commentator's going, there's a stop and play, right? There's an injured guy on the ice, apparently. And he says, no, it's not his knee. It appears his feelings are hurt, and the team psychologist is rushing out onto the ice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we started talking about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Enough, Russ, in my mind. Darren McCarty was the latest guy to weigh in on Mike Babcock, for example.
Oh, boy, what did Darren say?
Okay, so Bab, just a backstory, if you haven't listened to other podcasts, Babcock, or you've been in the woods, Babcock gets fired, and then some shit comes out that he has been a mean coach and mistreated guys. Made Marner make this list of guys, and then he went and told everyone who was the hardest working guy, blah, blah, blah. And then other guys came forward and said, I'll tell you something else about him. There was the Bill Peters thing that he got fired for racist comments, which were true. And then other players started to weigh in on this stuff. And then other names have come forward. Now Crawford has been thrown into the mix. I think the Sutter brothers over the last 10 days or so have been tossed in there about mean guys to coach and you know, abusing players, singling them out. And so everyone's sort of trying to figure this thing out, okay? Darren McCarty now comes out and says, now this is a guy who played most of his career with Detroit when they were winning cups, okay?
Yeah.
they win. Babcock was there for a long time. McCarty left and came back and stuff. He won some cups in the early 2000s. Anyway, they win. They go to the Stanley Cup final in 2008 under mm-hmm. Babcock, and they win Detroit. Mm-hmm. They go to the final against Pittsburgh. They go to the final in 2009 against Pittsburgh, I think, back-to-back, and they lost, okay, in seven games. McCarty now says Babcock is just not a nice guy. He was one of the meanest guys out there. He's mean to people. He's mean. And we won the 2008 Grey Cup or Stanley Cup despite Babcock, he says, and the reason we lost is because of Babcock. Mm. And he just said he's mean, and you know, I didn't like him as a person. He was good X's and O's coach and all this stuff. And I'm saying, okay, Russ, these guys got to begin to shut up. Okay, that I just don't think they should be saying anything, Russ. I mean, you played hockey. You know, it's one of the best fraternities of people in the world, of protecting their own. And I think it's getting too much.
Well, I think the most damaging story that came out was Chris Chelios, who's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he's hammering Babcock. And my opinion is that you live by the sword, die by the sword. And now finally the fans are starting to hear about what these guys are like. And you know what? If you're a dick, then you're gonna pay a price at some point. Whether it's at a restaurant and you're a dick or a bitch to the waiter or waitress, they're gonna spit in your food. And
Jesus,
if you're in a restaurant and you're a prick or you're a bitch to the person serving you, they're gonna go in the back, and chances are they're gonna do something to your food. Now, if you wait till they give you your food and then your dick, chances are you won't get. But, you know, here we are, and guys are starting to finally tell the truth about all these coaches. And I've been, you know, on our show, I've said that my friends who are coaching just said, you can't be that tough on players anymore. You can't.
Right.
Well, they're all, you know, they're realizing their rights and this and that. But in the past, nobody said anything, because if you said anything, you'd get benched or you get traded or it might hurt your career. And one guy said, and my son's in this position, you know, he's a senior at Western Michigan. He goes, you know, some guys don't want to say anything because their kids are coming up in the league and they don't want to ruin their chances or careers and stuff. So I've said this before. I don't know Mike all that well. We played against each other, and I know obviously his career and stuff. And I just said he was tough because I've heard all the stories of how tough he was. But mm-hmm. that was every freaking coach. Like
right.
John Brophy, what he did to Al Iafrady was unfreaking believable. And other people, Val James. I mean, Val James ever comes forth. I mean, but you know, Brophy's passed away. But
like what? What did he do to?
Oh, Val James. I mean, he threw every racial slur at him and embarrassed him in front of the whole team and sent him to the minors because he tied or lost a fight to Harold Sneps in Detroit. You know, 2 days before or something. It was the worst thing. One of the worst things, maybe the worst thing I've ever seen in hockey. And so we all have these stories of forget the racial thing, just what players went through that were humiliated, you know.
Right.
Whatever. Every team had some situation where, you know, they got berated and kicked in the butt and all that stuff. But it was part. It was just part of the game, and maybe it's part of the game. But the racial shit, you're not gonna. It doesn't fly with anybody. But the hard ass coach, there's always gonna be hard ass coaches. They just got now. There's a line that if they cross that line, there's a chance that player is gonna go to the media and it's gonna get out. So they've got to be careful. But the, you know, the tough coach is going to exist. The guy in Ottawa's, you know, he's tough. I mean, there's probably a million of them, but I've heard some stories about him just being a tough guy. And I don't know. The only guy I've heard that's coaching right now that's that, well, I've heard a couple guys is Barry Trotz and John Cooper, and I like what Rick Tockett's doing. You know, I've heard those that what how they communicate with their players, and like, we're a team, we're a group, we're you know, we've got to respect one another. And but I'm so far removed from the game, I just hear, you know, I'm just passing on things I hear. But when I played, it was freaking brutal, like what coaches got away with.
But according to that then, Russ, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you. So you know lots of stories. You've been around it. You've seen, you just said, I saw wild, you know, abuse to guys mentally. Are you going to come forward?
I've told some, you know, the Pat Byrne story. I'd said hi to him every morning for 4 years in a row. He never said hi back. So, you know what? Am I going to, I'm just telling that story that was our relationship. Burnsy was tough, and but I, every morning, walked by his office. It was always open. I go, good morning, Pat. And he'd look up and look down, never say good morning.
Right.
But I did that 4 years in a row. Did I lose any sleep over that? I just knew where I stood with Pat. He didn't like me. I didn't really like him. But I played for him, and he was, you know, he's a really good coach. And there was times when I was like, I just was like, I couldn't take him, but I took him. But he probably felt the same way about me. I mean, he wasn't a fan of Russ Cortinel, so, you know, he treated me as such. And when we had that blowout fight in Chicago, it was just a combination of him and I just not seeing eye to eye. But at the end of the day, the player doesn't have the power, the coach has all the power, and and that power looks like they're losing that. The coaches are going to lose that. And maybe they've already lost it.
It's kind of like Russ in the old days of being a snitch, you know? Right? It's like, I remember I went to my old man, you know, he said, you know, if your brother ever beats you up or anything, make sure you tell me, you know? And but I know he was like, I hope you don't, you know? I hope. And my brother throttled me, the same brother, you know, he throttled me one night, and we got in shit for being home late. And then my old man said, what's going on? What happened? I said, well, we were late and blah, blah, blah. He said, okay. He was pretty soft, my old man. He had this, he's like, okay, don't do that again. Go to bed, you know? And I stopped and I said, wait a minute. And my brother looked at me like, do not.
Yeah. I said, I'll beat the shit out of you even more.
So, and I said, well, remember you told me to tell you if Paul ever hit me? Well, he punched me in the head, right? And my dad had to, you know, he's like, oh, really? And you know, we never got punched, right? We got cuffed, right? You know, he sort of get slapped in the back of the head. And my dad said, how'd he hit you? Like this? And he smacked me in the side of the head. And then he turned to my brother, or was it like this, you know? Yeah. And I mean, you know all this stuff, right? It was the way it was back then. Things have changed. There's no doubt about it. You can't say it anymore, whether you believe it or not, you know? Hockey, Russ, they tell you to play mean, you know? They tell you to play tough. They tell you to play mean. You know, this thing has reared its ugly head. Even if I look back at Grapes, when I see what's happening now and Don Cherry, what he said, you know, one of the points that has come out in me talking about this with other people over the past days is someone said, listen, you know, in fairness to Grapes, this guy, before he said what he did, about, you know, you people, meaning immigrants, to wear a poppy. Long time before that, Russ, this guy was calling out, you know, Polish players, European players, Swedish guys, French guys, and nobody complained, Russ, back then.
Yeah.
No one said a freaking word about it. And now, you know, just like the cartoon says, wait a minute, the guy's been offended from this stuff, you know? It's like, you know, back when you were a rookie, Russ, you know, what the shit they did to rookies has now stopped because times have changed.
Which I agree with. It was stupid.
Right. So the times have changed. But you're not going to go back, Russ, and bury a coach or a captain of your team that shaved your fucking balls.
No.
You know?
I mean,
right?
That just, it was part of the It was just part of the deal. But you know, that it's the media and the politics that's really fucking everything up right now, because they're just trying to look for a story and then going with it. And then, you know, somebody, oh, I didn't like this. And with social media now, it just spreads like wildfire. I mean, it's just crazy. So everybody's so protective. You know, when Don Cherry for years said what he said, and then all of a sudden he goes, "You people," and then he's done, and he, and we just, oh my God, we offended this person and that. And I mean, everybody is just so right now. The I'm trying to think of the word, but it's there. Everybody is just on that, you know, they're on the hotspot or the button of
under the
You can't say that. Well, of course, you can't say a lot of things, but it's just, if you say it and you're a you're in the limelight, man, it is like Don Cherry says what he says, and then everybody goes, oh my God, he's you know, a racist and this and that. And then he came back and said, I should have said everyone in Canada, you know, if I had just said everyone in Canada, he goes, then I would have been fine. And he's right. If he had just said everyone, but he said you people, and you know, you come here and then, well, I guess he made some other, you know, descriptive comments like you come here. So, but we all came here. We're all, you know, my grandparents came in 1922. Right. So, I mean, everybody's from somewhere else, but
well,
and we're just every, like, players, working people, not, you know, schools, everything's just so, it's so
sensitive, Russ.
Yeah, so sensitive. That girl who, I don't know who the girl is, but I just saw on Instagram, I always, you know, I would get my news on Instagram, and this girl who apparently took a knee during the anthem, I think she was a cheerleader, just was rewarded $145,000 because of what she went through. So, you Jesus. Know, yeah. Whether it's true or not, I read it somewhere, and that's kind of an example of where we are right now.
It's too bad we have to talk about it, you know? Like, I'm looking, when I think ahead of our show, you know, like, I start thinking about the night before and looking at stuff and scrolling through, and I'm going, you know what, this story is still here, you know? It's still here. The least offensive thing out of all the things Grape said was what he said the last time, you people.
Yeah, probably, you're right, yeah. I mean, he hammered the Swedish hockey player for years and years and years and years. Right. I was in a fight, and I again, I may have told this story before, but Thomas Steen and I had a fight in Maple Leaf Garden, Saturday night hockey. He's playing for Winnipeg, and I was pissed off. I got a fight with Thomas Steen. He hit me so freaking hard, and all I could think about was staying in there. We had one of my best fights ever.
Yeah.
And all I could think about was Grapes going, well, fuck, the Canadian lost to the Swede, you know, like that was kind of, he was so hard on these guys, and they're the toughest players I ever played with.
Right.
But he did not like the Swedish hockey player, and so he was calling him chicken and this and that, and it was his shtick. But if if he said today what he said back then, I mean, he would have been fired like 100 times.
Sure.
But anyways, that times have changed.
Yeah, my point is, and then we'll move on. My point is, the TV station. I've found out more about this story, and I got a really good source who I found out exactly what went on after. And they called Grapes. In fact, they went to his house in Mississauga the next day, and they said, "Look at Don. All you got to do is apologize for this. That's all," because they had heat coming, and maybe a few other. And then the other thing they told him, which nobody knew, and I found this out last night, so this might be the first time people are hearing it. But the other thing they told him was, you're going to have to dial back what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not so staggering. And they had a sponsor. What happened is, one of their big sponsors phoned and said, we can't do this. We've been inundated from customers saying we're not going to buy your product. So now you're into this situation. And they said, Don, they'll be fine. The sponsor will be fine if you just apologize. And he said, no, I'm not going to. You know, all of a sudden now, this TV station, Don Cherry's been on it for 35 fucking years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the TV station now is, this network is taking the moral high ground here that we just can't put up with what Don did. And yet you were fine for 30 years doing it. So, you know, anyway. Sponsor. I mean, if you called a guy, Russ, if I asked you a leader or a follower on a team, what would you pick yourself to be?
Leader.
Right. So a leader gets to take a little more liberty with players. And if you called a kid, you know, if you said, listen, you chicken shit mother foe, you know, you piece of shit, get out there, blah, 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 blah. What if, you know, and what if this kid comes forward now, Russ? How would you react if this kid came forward and said, Russ Courtnell was mean to me when I was a player and he called me a chicken shit and a lazy prick? How would you react, Russ, if this happened?
Well, I would explain the situation. Just, you know, if I had a teammate that didn't like me and we didn't like each other, I would just tell the truth and say why, and that's it.
Right.
But, you know,
if you went in the newspaper with it, for example.
Well, then I would just explain why I said what I said.
Right.
You know, if the guy was a fat fuck and he was lazy, then I'd just say, well, I thought he was lazy and a fat fuck and not a good teammate. I mean, I'd just tell the truth.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's some people who have done some shitty things in hockey and in life, and, you know, they just got to live with it. And unfortunately, it's a lot of people don't. They don't want to hear when, you know, you get away with shit for long enough, you think you're invincible, and now all of a sudden it's all coming out, and now you're like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Chelios is coming out, Hall of Fame player. Any team in the league would love to have Chris Chelios, and he's saying shit about Babcock.
Right.
That is the worst news that's coming out against Babcock. Because he's a player. He's a captain. He's a winner. He's won multiple Stanley Cups.
Right.
You know, what I've heard from other players, these guys, I had to look up a couple of these players that are complaining.
Right.
I had to actually go and write down their names, go online and go, okay, I've never heard of this guy. What happened?
Right.
So the most damaging thing so far right now I've heard is from Chris, and you know, that's gonna hurt, because that has weight, because Chris has nothing to complain about. He's just telling the truth,
right?
And you know, that's gonna be, and then the Marner story, you know, he handled it well.
Listen, Russ, I went to a game last night. The Oilers were here at home in town. I live in Edmonton, of course. And
saw it on Insta.
Yeah, they win. They win a nail biter. They got outplayed, man. They outplayed LA in the first period, and then they got sort of taken down. They might have had half the shots LA did. Connor McDavid's the guy, but I looked around the arena, Russ, and they're not selling out anymore.
Uh-oh.
And they were for a long time. And I was talking to a management guy, and he said, well, a lot of teams aren't anymore, with the economy being the way it is. You know, there's two big towers that they developed around Rogers Place, which is this massive development called the Ice District in Edmonton. One of the towers is 90% sold. The other one was supposed to sell out first, and it's 50% sold.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what's going to happen with hockey, Russ? The prices of tickets are sky high. And I said, how are teams making money? You look out there, Russ, and there's, you know, it's 80% full or 70% full or less. And this guy told me that you don't make money each year. And I said, well, then why are guys buying teams? And he said, all they got to do is hang in there, and they're going to make $100 million on the franchise fee. It keeps going up and up and up, the cost of a team.
Yeah.
But I'm going, Russ, people, I talked to a scalper last night outside the game, and this guy's saying, we can't make any money anymore. You know, like a ticket. You could have bought a ticket there last night to that game. This is Connor McDavid, man, for $40.
Wow, that's not good.
To go to a game. And what do you think will happen, Russ?
Well, the economy's okay. So depends where you are in the country in Canada, right? Because Alberta is, because of oil, they're
in the tank.
Their economy is just bad. But Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. Vancouver's getting hurt right now because of the foreign tax they put on the real estate in BC and especially in Vancouver. So they're starting to feel it right now. So you got Vancouver, things aren't, you know, but they have other things going on. Alberta is so oil driven in the economy and oil and gas.
Right.
And so you're, you know, where you live right now, but you know, in the United States, freaking stock market's at all time high, jobs, everybody's working, everybody's got lots of money. But you know, when during the downturn in 08, 09, 10, like Detroit, it was so bad that I heard a story like, Stevie Y had just retired. He was working for Detroit, and he was asking people who had season tickets. You know, I noticed, and this could be false, but I'm going to tell the story anyways. This is, you know, I heard this.
Don't let facts get in the way, Russ.
Yeah. I heard it from another hockey player, so I figure it's got to be true.
It's got to be true. Wikipedia for sure.
I heard Stevie Y would call, you know, people who weren't using their seats, like, why didn't you give your tickets away? And they were saying in Detroit during the downturn that they couldn't even give their tickets away because when you go, you got to pay for parking. Kids want hot dogs, you have beers, and you know, it's a couple hundred bucks whether you get free tickets or not. So they weren't even using free tickets back then because things were so bad in Michigan during the downturn.
Right.
And Alberta's going through that right now with all that's gone on and everything that's been shut down. And it's going to take a while to recover and have people feeling good. And the problem is in sport, when people get used to being able to buy a ticket to go to a game when they're not sold out, they're less likely to ever buy a season ticket again. Dallas went through that. Dallas Stars went where they boom, 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 couldn't get a ticket. They raised prices. And then wham, they had to rebuild. Prices came way down. And I don't know where they're at now, but it looks a lot better, but it takes a long time. Everybody can remember in the Blue Jay era when they won back-to-back World Series?
Yes, they did. Yep.
And you couldn't get a freaking seat. And then they had a couple lockouts or strikes, whatever you want to call them, and then the building's half empty.
Right.
And once you know you don't need a season ticket, watch out. Because the only place, there's only a few places that you can, doesn't matter what you do, you know you're going to sell out. And I know that the two places in Canada are Toronto and Montreal.
Right. They're bulletproof. You know, they're Toronto is absolutely bulletproof from any economy, it seems. So the killer, Russ, for these teams is not so much ticket renewals and stuff like that. It's corporate money, right? And you know, when you're making 300, you know, there some guys paying 300 grand a year or whatever. I have no idea what the money is, but it's big money to have a rink board sign, and these guys are coming forward and go, we can't do it, man. You know, you can't do it anymore as a company. At what point are we going to see, you know, a little give and take here with a ticket price, you know?
Well, you'll see it when they can't sell out.
Right.
You're going to, you know, they're going to have to make adjustments. And
you hang around owners, you know, the owner from Vancouver. What do they say about, do you have any idea? I mean, you're close to some of these guys. Do you have any idea what they say about the business of operating a hockey team?
When things are good, everybody's got smiles on their face, and when things are not good, it's like a marriage, and your buddy's going through a tough time, and they're possibly getting divorced. Yes. You never go, hey, how's it going? How's the wife? How are you and the wife? So I know Vancouver's doing great right now. They've got a great, exciting team, but they went through a period where it was tough. But they're I really don't know, because I do not ask those questions. I mean, if I worked for them or worked for another team, I would know a lot more. Right. But I just, you know, I pass on stories I hear. But
I think in the end, with sports, you know, with all the complications of business and marketing and economy turns and ups and downs, that if you win, it's going to solve a lot of problems. And all you got to do right now is look at Phoenix. They're in first place in the division here. And Rick Tocchet, who we know, both know, and he's an absolutely wonderful
guy.
Great guy. I have a bit of a bias, but apparently the word, you know, this guy's a front runner for Coach of the Year already.
Yeah.
You know, what he's done. And Phoenix, man, Phoenix has everything that everyone ever complains about. They got the beautiful arena. It's a little far from town, the arena.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's exciting to be in the building. It's absolutely one of the nicest freaking buildings I've ever been in. And
yeah.
They couldn't sell flies, man. They couldn't they couldn't draw flies. I mean, for years and years. In fact, they used to attach tickets, a pair of tickets, Russ, to bottles of booze in liquor stores as a promo. They did. But anyway, now that's all turning around right now. You know.
Yeah, so. and Rick's done a great job there. He's such a great guy and smart. And he was one I was listening to on TV saying, you know, it's a partnership. And he was saying there's certain things, you know, work ethic, and you're never gonna let that go. But he said players come in and they go, we'd like to travel on this day or this time, we'd like to practice, and he goes, if it makes sense, I'm doing it, because that's what they want. And that's the partnership, is listening to the players, where when we played, it was like whatever the players want, the coaches did the opposite. Just to piss off the players, because they had to have the upper hand. And so now the coach is like, hey, they're important to me, for me to keep this job, and vice versa. Like, they also have to rely on me to be a partner with them. And so it's give and take, where before it was like, oh, you guys want to practice at 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock a.m.? Okay, we're going to practice at 9.
Oh, just to be a prick.
Just to be a prick. Just to,
which is Babcock's rap, right? That's what everyone's saying about
Babcock. Yeah, he's old school. He came from that era. So, you know, he was going to have the upper hand.
Smart play. Smart move by Tocchet.
Yeah, in this era of hockey, for sure. For sure. I've said this before, where there'll be somebody on that team that probably doesn't like Rick because he's not playing or doesn't get enough ice time. You're never going to make everyone happy.
Right.
The St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. I guarantee you there's two or three guys on that team that were pissed off last year. They either didn't play in the playoffs, they didn't play as much as they should have, but you're never going to have, they're going to look back and go, oh, I won the Stanley Cup and it was great.
Right.
And, oh yeah, I won a Stanley Cup. But on every team, there's going to be somebody who's pissed off because they're just not getting, you know, whether it's a goalie, whether it's that didn't get to play or whatever. You're never going to make everybody happy, but if you go out of your way to make someone unhappy, just being a dick, then, you know, I think we're going to hear about it from here on in.
You know, I don't know if how well.
And
you
I know you don't like that
because
you're an armchair athlete.
Yeah, I know, but.
If smoking was a freaking Olympic competition, you'd have freaking 20 gold medals. It'd
be no one would beat that.
Oh, my God. Back to back to back to back.
Your friend.
You'd have so many medals, that you would have to sit in a chair. You wouldn't be able to stand up.
Darren McCarty, to me, sounds like a fool when he said, but, you know, he went to the, let's look at this picture here, Darren. You said, Babcock, we won it not because of him, and then we lost because of him. Wait a minute here. Stanley Cup final, 2 years in a row. Are you seriously going to tell me the fucking coach didn't have something to do with that? You know, both times. So, Rusty, before we go, time for questions, eh? To Russ.
Oh, here we go.
I love these. It's a segment now that we do on the show.
Hey, I got to tell you, I I put on Instagram about Peloton and that Ali Love. You know, I said yeah. I do my thing with Ali Love.
Right.
She actually gave me a clap back and said, a good one, you know, like, good for you.
Oh.
Oh, so Paris is getting a little jealous.
Get her on the phone. We need, she could be a sponsor. We're going to start getting sponsors in a couple of months. We'll put her in line. You know? I heard a hilarious.
Sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. I heard a hilarious thing that are, so you know, Fitbits, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. I heard this story too.
This is a great story.
Oh. So
the chick, her ex-boyfriend, she busts him for cheating. She laughs about it now, but she was upset then. She busts him for cheating because I think their Fitbits are synced. You can sync. Like, so she has a Fitbit. Her boyfriend has a Fitbit. So I guess you can see whatever's going on.
Activity.
The activity on each Fitbit. And she's looking at her Fitbit at 4 a.m. in the morning. He's not around. And the heart rate's going through. This guy's getting plowed by some other chick. And she says, yeah, Fitbits don't, when you're sleeping, nothing registers, okay? Yeah. Anyway, look it up. It's
oh, yeah, it's a good, she's a NFL commentator.
Yeah.
And I saw that today. I was telling Paris about the Fitbit. Mean,
listen.
Yeah, he bought her the Fitbit for Christmas or her birthday.
It's the best.
And then she caught him screwing around because of the Fitbit, because right. At 4 a.m., his freaking heart rate was a million miles an hour.
Listen, oh, God, okay, we can't
condone that. You can't make that shit up.
You can't condone that whole favor, but I might, in fairness to the cat, I might feel a little bit sorry going, who the fuck is going to think about that?
Okay,
I never thought it would happen. I'd get caught that way. Anyway, question. Russ, Ovechkin certainly has come out now and almost admittedly said, I'm playing until I break the record. And people love that about him, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Because some people,
I'm a big OV fan.
Yeah, and you know, some people say, well, it's not about the record, it's about the team. And he's like, no, fuck that. I want this record. I think it's great. And so it's terrific. It makes for great viewing to watch the guy play, and he's so good. And apparently a very down-to-earth guy. I've never met him. I've seen him.
No, either have I. I hope to one day.
So this comes up again from time to time. And in all sports, Russ, one of the questions we have, which record do you think is the most impressive when you, it'd be tough for you to get away from hockey, but if you can for a second, what record in sports do you think is top notch, one of the most impressive records?
The most impressive thing is assists by Wayne. You know, if you don't count his goals and just his assists every year, he freaking pretty much won the scoring race, but.
Right. Never to be broken.
Records.
I've got one. Tell me what you think. I think Daryl Sittler, 10 points in one game.
Oh, I got a better one.
Oh, you
Joe
do,
eh? Sakic, most overtime goals in the playoffs. I think he's at 8 or 9.
Oh, no way. I've never heard of that.
Him and Maurice Richard. Pretty sure.
Wow.
I'm going to look it up quickly right now and see if I can get it. Joe Sakic. No, but he was a stud in overtime.
We talk about this, and you always had the greatest one ever. We did at a gig, but it's worth repeating. When Gretz retired, of course, he started, you know, doing a bunch of commercials, and you said the record that'll never be broken is 39 commercials in 50 days.
Yeah.
He was sponsored Tylenol and banks and all this sort of stuff. But
you were bragging about all his records, and I go, yeah.
Have you ever been in a bar fight, Rusty?
Oh, of course. Who hasn't?
You have been?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about one. Let's hear.
So the best bar fight I was ever in was with my younger brother, Bruce. I was playing in, what is the statute of limitations?
two white claws, obviously.
Yeah, I know. So my brother, Bruce, and I got into a bar fight, and we were in Vancouver, and he got in a fight with the bouncer, and Bruce is a tough son of a bitch,
is
man.
Is Bruce tough?
Fuck, He can really? Throw him with the best of them. Yeah. So he got in a fight with the, we were trying to go.
With a bouncer.
Yeah, Jesus. Bouncer. So we were leaving the bar. My friend owns the bar and we're leaving. And the bouncer goes, you can't take the beer with you, you know. And Bruce goes, oh, I know the owner. And he goes, I don't give a fuck who you know. You're not leaving. And then they start fighting. Now we're all outside. And I'm yelling at my friend who owns the bar. And we're just absolutely annihilated. And I said, fuck, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. Meanwhile, Bruce and this guy are going toe-to-toe. It's a great fight. And some regular thinks that I'm going to fight my friend who owns the bar, and he sucker punches me. And so he and I get into it, and I'm full of booze, and I just freaking, I'm not a tough guy, but I laid the boots to this guy.
Oh, you
Bruce,
did. Nice.
Bruce and I fought our way into a cab, and we get into the cab, like literally backed up fighting these guys, get into a cab. We get home, and his ex-wife at the time, we don't have a key to get in, so we go to their apartment, and we're covered in blood, and neither one of us were cut. It was freaking beautiful.
Oh.
So that was probably the best bar fight I was in, but I was with my younger brother, Bruce.
What's the best one you've seen?
The best
I'll give you mine while you think about it. I didn't see this, but it's the best one I've ever heard. Okay. Most vicious. A buddy of mine, Rob Snow, as a matter of fact, he just changed jobs from in Ottawa, he's a news guy, and he's from the Maritimes, and he was down at a game, like what's the beer called there that the team's named after? Moose?
Moosehead.
Moosehead Moose. Beer. And he's at a Moosehead's game, and two guys in front of him are yipping at each other, you know? They're lipping each other off. It's getting heated. And the one guy stands up, and the other guy's sitting down. He stands up over him and says, go ahead and just repeat what you just said to me. I dare you, okay? And when the guy goes to say it, in a single second, dude standing up puts his two thumbs together back to back, Russ, okay? Picture this.
Yeah.
So he puts his two thumbs together back to back. His hands are, you know, facing each other. Rips his thumbs straight into the guy's mouth, and then wham, rips his cheek open with one of the thumbs. Best ever. Best ever.
Paul Coffey and I were at this charity event in Croatia. We were on this boat, and there was a guy who bought the trip. By the way,
Coff, not a guy. He's never been in a fight in his life, has
no,
he?
No, no. So we're sitting around, we're telling stories, and so there's five families or five couples on the boat. This one young couple there. He actually got engaged on the boat, but I don't want to say his name. But anyways, he is a frickin' tough mother F. And so he has a security company in Canada, and he bought this trip anyway. So we're talking about, you know, fights and Victoria. So there was this guy outside a bar in Victoria, and he was going around punching and knocking guys out. Outside the bar,
blindsiding them,
like going up to guys and going, "Yeah," get an argument, and boom, he's like banging it, one punch. So this guy I'm talking about is he's like sitting there, and he's trying to pick up this girl,
right?
And he says, "Would you want to get pizza?" And he's just watching this guy run around being an idiot. Now he's dropped three guys. And everybody's watching. It's crazy. Everybody's out on the streets, and he keeps talking to this girl like, "Hey, do you want to get a pizza? Do you want to, you know, basically, do you want to have pizza and go to my hotel room?" And she's like, no. And he goes, "If I go out in the middle of the street right now and I knock that guy out and stop him from beating people up, will you go home with me?" And she goes, "In a second." And he went out there and he freaking dropped the guy. He went up to him and he goes, "Just so you know," like this is how tough this guy was, is. He goes, "Just so you know, when I knock you out, I'm going to get laid tonight. And I just before you go to sleep, I want to thank you." And the guy took a swing at him and he freaking dropped him. And this guy, he was one of these guys that went to... he went to the jungle in Taiwan to learn this certain type of fighting. And we started play fighting on the boat in Croatia. Yeah. And he hit Paul Coffey. Like, I'm talking, he moved his fist like 4 inches and hit him in the leg. And Paul, it hurt him so bad. Paul went down to his bunk room or whatever. We had these rooms. I go, Paul, are you okay? He goes, fuck off. Leave me alone. He goes, that's the most pain I've felt in all my years. It was this kid. Like, he told us stories of getting in fights and getting banned from bars. And now he has this huge security company in Canada. Could probably find out who it is, but I just don't want to say his name.
That's the best ever.
Yeah, I know.
Going up to the guy, going, "Sorry, I gotta knock you out, but it means I'm gonna get laid."
I just want to thank you right now, because after I knock you out, I'm gonna get laid. And the guy was like, "Yeah, right. Yeah, fuck you."
Oh my god, that's the best. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try that tomorrow. What a good way to end the show, Rusty. That was that's absolutely hilarious. We got another show in the books, The Suspendables. You've been listening to Jungle Jim, Jerome, and Russ Cortinal. And we'll be back next week with many, many, many more adventures and stories. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you, Rusty.
See you, pal.